It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here on this Saturday morning, and good to have my friend, my partner back, Mike Ward, in the studio, and you're healing up nicely.
Yeah, everything's doing better.
A lot of people don't know what happened, but it was late in turkey season this year when the biggest strutter ever attacked Mike. He was calling so good, he came in and attacked Mike. And to kill me. And he's just now recovering from that. And good to have you back, man. Good to see you in person.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Everything's doing good. Had a little knee operation, and
now it's a bionic knee.
Yeah, it's a bionic knee now. So I'm getting around, hobbling around, but I'm back. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Remember what was that show back in the 70s? The Bionic Man. You got all the new parts and stuff like that. Now you're going to be leaping over buildings and stuff like that.
I just hope I can get in and out of my truck without hurting.
Well, there's that part, and hopefully we can get you back out on the water and fishing. Of course,
pretty quick. I'm getting ready to be there.
Good deal, because second weekend of snapper season, of course, right now, people out, and this is the best weekend yet for weather. Last weekend, of course, a bunch of people went. But it was bumpy.
A little chop-chop last week.
By the time we got to Sunday, it was straight up rough.
Yes, it was rough Sunday.
And the weather this weekend, you hear Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. It'll run again here in just a little bit on the show. And it's 1 foot or less.
Yeah.
And the wind going variable. You get a northwest wind that switches around to a southwest. Ooh, I like that.
Oh, man, it's going to be nice. And it's that way all the way through Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. So you get out and enjoy it. Of course, talked to Director of Marine Resources, Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, earlier in the week. He said Fort Morgan ramps are now open, because they had just been open them on weekends and doing the construction during the week. He said they are open now. Yeah. He said they might have a little construction project here and there they got to do to finish up, but those ramps
are open.
But
that'd be probably during the week, not on the weekends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they still will have ramps open during the
week.
Where
you can get in and out.
Okay, so that's so for people trying to snap or fish on a Friday or whatever, they'll be open. So Fort Morgan, pretty much back to 90% back to normal there. Things looking, other than being crowded, good at Billy Goat Hole, little Billy Goat Hole, and I'm sure places like Boggy Point and stuff look fine, other than they're crowded as people launching to go snapper fishing.
Did you ask him if he would please cut down all the trees in the middle of the road at Billy Goat Hole down there where you have a place to park a boat and trailer?
You know, I mean,
a truck and trailer.
I got a plan on that. I've been doing some drawings because he and I started talking. He made a good point. You know, had him on the midday show, and we're talking about access and ramps and talking about getting. He said, you know, Sean, the launches aren't as big a problem as the parking.
That's exactly right.
And it made a lot of sense. People say, why don't we have a ramp here and why don't we have a ramp there? And people holler about it, but you go, the ramp's the easy part. Where are you going to park everybody? That's the tougher thing to do. And so, I've actually been doing some drawings and stuff. Who knows what the state would do, but some ideas for parking more vehicles. Because, I mean, Billy Goat Hole, I mean, you've got a little Billy Goat Hole and big Billy Goat Hole, all those back down ramps, but you don't have, I mean, parking that's, I mean, there's not even actually a parking lot for big Billy Goat Hole.
No, you know. And
at least Little has its own little area, but it's way too small. But
right.
But, you know, you're on an island, y'all. Limited space. You can only go so big.
I was down a little Billy Goat Hole. I rode down there the other day and just looked at the water and everything. There was a lot of people, you know, launched at Little Billy Goat Hole. And I want to tell you what, everybody was jammed in there. There was cars and trailers that there is no way they could get out of there until the other people came to move their vehicle.
Which is horribly rude to do.
Yeah, it is. They had them jammed in there. I mean, it wasn't just one or two. I bet you there was 10 or more vehicles that they could not get out of there unless somebody moved their vehicle. So I don't know how they do that.
I
was talking about cutting the trees down. I'm talking about cutting trees down
in the median.
In the median.
Yeah. Sure.
And make it where two trucks and trailers
well,
can
what
park
if that was double decked? We'll get to this later. I should get some ideas.
Something. I mean, something's got to give down there. Right now, you're going to have to park halfway down to Cadillac Square.
Yeah. They were at Audubon on Friday morning, got a call, and they were to Audubon on yesterday morning. So,
take somebody like me, that's a long hobble to make it all the way back down there.
No joke. Well, you know, one of the things if I would suggest just to people trying to figure out a better way to get out and do some snapper fishing instead of having to spend half their day walking back from where they parked the truck and trailer, I go to Billy Goat Hole when I have to launch because I'm on Dolphin Island.
Right.
Okay. I'm there. If I was coming from the house, you know, east side, west side, there are launchers further up, you know, and people say, I love Billy Goat Hole too, because it gets bad, it gets rough. You just, all you got to do is make it back in the mouth of the bay and you put it on the trailer.
Right.
I understand. But if you get frustrated by that parking situation, think about launching at Fowl River. Think about, I tell you what, the launch at the Bayou, by Alabaster, that's a fine launch there.
Yeah.
It's a good launch. You could launch there, not a ton of parking once again, but it's a good launch. You can launch places further north and then run past the island in the boat. I mean, that's one of the things to do. Talking about last weekend and some really, even though rough, some really good fish coming in.
Oh, yeah, man. I tell you what, the Kingmaster tournament out of Biloxi was happening last weekend. I went to the weigh-in over there. Mark Kendi on the Quasar was fishing, and a bunch of Neil Foster on the Intense, and a bunch of my buddies were fishing over there. So I went to see the weigh-in, and, man, there was some big old fine fish brought in.
Let's talk about, what did you see? I mean, because
there was about somewhere around 7 or 8 over 50 pounds. 52.9 was the
biggest. Because it wasn't last year real tough on getting, if I remember, one of the tournaments, like the 50s were hard to find last year.
Yeah, they were. I mean, it was usually always a 50 caught just about on every tournament.
But you just said 7 of them.
I think there was like 7, might have been 8.
That's
somewhere around in
there.
That's
really good.
The way they've got the board here, I'm looking at the board, it's really kind of hard to look at and figure out, to be honest with you. But there was a 52.9, another 52.9, a 52.9, a 52.9. That's 4 52.9s.
That's real good.
Yes. And Mark Kendi had a Wahoo that was 96 pounds.
Wow.
Of course, he won the Wahoo. There was a, let me find a Cobia. The first place Cobia was 70-something pounds, 72 pounds. First place Cobia, so it had a big Cobia. So it was a really good tournament, and the best part of it, Sean, from talking to Mark and several of the other guys over there, they caught so many fish between 40 and 50 pounds. Mark had a 51, I believe, was his biggest king, and he came in fourth place with that, and first place Wahoo. But they said they caught so many fish, it was every time you threw a bait out, you had one on pretty much between 40 and 50 pounds all day long.
Okay, but I mean, am I remembering incorrectly that last year it was not like that?
It was not like
a bad year last year.
It was bad last year, sure was. It was not near as good. Now, they went way to the west,
okay,
on the other side of the Mississippi River, right over there. Now, there was a few people that fished.
How about the people fished back here in our neck of the woods?
And they had caught a lot of fish. Yeah, the people that fished over here out in deep water, they did not do good at all. But in the shallower water, like over around Chandelier Islands or, you know, 15 miles south of Dolphin Island, they caught quite a few fish.
Tell you what, if they were fishing off Chandelier last weekend, they took a beating because I was there. I went to Chandelier. I fished Chandelier last weekend, Friday and Saturday. And it was blowing the dog off the chain.
Yes, I mean, it was.
Yeah, you know, we decided to try
out the west. It was bad.
Yeah, and the sad thing is too, there was enough of a groundswell still coming in from the southeast. We went over and watched across the island to try to wade fish Friday morning, and it was still even though the wind was blowing at your back from the west.
Yeah, the swells
were rolling in from the east.
Yeah.
It was real wet. And when we went to leave Saturday night, the captain on a 176-foot boat emptied out the galley. I mean, dishes breaking everywhere and everything running back into Biloxi. It was rough. It was rough. I mean, it didn't faze us. Alabama boys, we'll find some fish and work them over.
Probably drinking a cerveza.
Or two.
Yeah, or two.
Had a good trip over there, actually. Yeah, that
caught a lot of fish?
You know, not everybody, but they're out of the group. Two boats really got some.
Did you catch
better
them?
Yeah, well, we did. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured.
Always
catch them.
We worked over the redfish pretty good. Didn't catch a bunch of trout, but I'm new over there too.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go. Another group with us, some friends there, they really did a lot better on trout than we did. And then my partner and I caught a few trout each day, 6 or 7 trout that we keep and a bunch of undersized, but we really worked over on the redfish.
Awesome.
Which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right, hey, when we come back, let's talk about some blue water fishing, the Offshore Fishing Report with Blake Michaleski from the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club, brought to you by HMS Marine Electronics. And then, Mystic Chuck is going to join us here.
Big Chuck.
And we're talking about the 16th annual Mystic Stripers Fishing Rodeo. That's all straight ahead right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. It's time for the Offshore Fishing Report, brought to you by HMS Marine Electronics. For all your fishing technology by major brands like Garmin, you'll be supporting a local online retailer that offers all the price savings and perks of the big box stores and more. In the industry since 2004, in the business since 2013, Garmin and NEMA certified. Visit HMSMarineElectronics.com or on Facebook, HMS Marine Electronics, featuring Garmin ultra-high definition scanning sonar with stunningly clear images, side view, and clear view clarity means the fish have nowhere to hide. And if they were hiding from you last weekend for opening weekend of snapper season, go see Macklin and get that piece of equipment that helps you see the number right when you get on it, right? Or maybe in my case, you might not be right on the number. You might need that side view technology to help you find your snapper spot. Go check them out online or in person, HMS Marine Electronics. All right, time to talk offshore fishing. Joining us from the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club, Blake Michaleski, thanks for being in, and thanks for bringing some pretty good news here. We got a couple different things to talk about, but I'm just going to tease the fact that you got some pretty exciting news for people that didn't get to fish on one of y'all's tournaments, yeah, right? Right? That's
Sean, we had to cancel our Memorial Day tournament because of that subtropical storm.
Right.
We do have a plan, but we'll
get to that. That's around. A tease. That's yes, a tease. Just let you know that's so coming up.
Hold you in here. So last weekend, though, we had the Cajun Canyons tournament, or they did, in Venice, Louisiana, and the trend's continuing. Lots of big blue marlin being caught.
You were telling us last week, since we've been talking, it has been nothing but good reports on marlin from you.
Well, and it helps when you have really good crews who really have this figured out, and what people are realizing is, you know, there's a lot of people who don't even realize we have blue marlin in the Gulf of Mexico.
So, right.
But there are. It's a great fishery. It's becoming a destination fishery. In fact, there's when Venice, Louisiana starts getting lumped into that international destinations category, which right. It has been, you know the fishing's good there.
Okay, so Cajun Canyons tournament's going on last weekend. So you're talking about blue marlin. How many? And tell me about some size
the
here.
Bigger Windsong, it's a 66 Viking out of Destin. They released three.
Wow.
And the fourth one was long enough and big enough to go on and bring to the scales. It weighed in at 699.3, which means it was over 700 when it was caught.
Right.
These fish lose weight as soon as they hit the deck. Water weight starts going off pretty quickly. So
that's
four
a big fish.
So four blue marlin they caught, you know, which is great.
This isn't in their entire season. This is in one tournament.
Right. A two-day tournament. Relentless Pursuit, which is a 95-foot Jim Smith, a behemoth of a boat,
yes,
based out of Orange Beach, they clocked in with three blue marlin releases. And then the Chase and Tail, a 80-foot Weaver out of Orange Beach, also released two. In the kill category, the other two were still 545 and 521. So, I mean, all three places were over 500 pounds. And in a lot of tournaments worldwide, that's the minimum to weigh as a 500-pound fish.
And they're doing it right here in our own backyard.
Absolutely. The tuna bite was fairly good. The first place, again, to the Windsong, these guys really had a great tournament at 156.4 pounds. No big story on Wahoo. If you remember from the OBBC Wahoo, there was a 110-pounder. This time, Triple C got one at 40 pounds.
I got a question about that, too. You pay attention to all this. Just hearing stories that it seems like more Wahoo caught in the colder months of the year. Is that true?
Yeah, or it seems to be. There's more numbers up
okay.
here. And they'll come in shallower, and they can be targeted in the
okay, so there's a better chance of running into them.
Right,
yeah, okay.
But when you get out here on these rips, they're on these rips, and they're because they're a predator fish just like the blues are, so they're out there eating. Again, last week, remember we talked about dolphin? Well,
yes.
We have some bulls caught. There were the top five places in dolphin were all over 30 pounds.
Those are studs.
And first place was 44.9.
Wow.
That went to a boat called the Money Shot. So fitting.
Okay, yeah, no joke. Okay, and we talked about that. And also, I want people to check out your post on Facebook there because we talked about chicken dolphin, and we talked about bull dolphins, and you said, well, yeah, and turkey dolphin. And I said, turkey dolphin? You said, yeah, the one, you know, the ones in between in size.
Right.
If chicken dolphins are the tiny tinies, then these are turkey dolphin, and you have a good example of that in a picture with the young angler.
Yeah, that was Tyler DeGeorge. He's he fishing on his dad's boat, a 27-foot custom that he built in his own backyard.
Oh,
really,
wow.
Really fine boat.
What a great story.
I've been fortunate enough to fish on it. It was a great time. But, again, with snapper season open, we've had some great reports there. I've been seeing some verified 20 and 25-pound fish.
Right, and there's a point to be made there, because I'm not picking on anybody, but there's 20-pounders, and then there's 20-pounders on a scale.
Right.
You know, because a 15-pound snapper is a fantastic snapper.
Absolutely.
It's just not 20 pounds. But you're seeing them come in, and people took a little bit, I guess. I was down in Chandler, and the wind was blowing down there, heavy duty out of the west, big west wind. Not as bad as the southeast, but a pretty bad wind. I did not snapper fish last weekend, will this weekend. But it looked to me, from what I was seeing around Chandler, people took their licks out there snapper fishing.
Yeah, it was a little bumpy out there. So it still goes to show the level of enthusiasm for the snapper fishery. And people are really excited to get all the extra days we're getting this year. We're getting a good season. But the fact is they don't have to fish these days.
Right.
They can pick and choose, but it just goes to show how fired up they are.
They took their licks out there. This weekend looks to be a lot better. But you were telling me before we went on here there's a key, at least a trend you see in catching these big snapper. And you said it's a what rig?
The knocker rig.
The knocker rig.
And what that goes to is, on these reefs, obviously the smaller fish need to hold tight to the reef. They're on another fish's plate.
Right, that's right.
A small snapper can be eaten by plenty of fish.
Right.
So as the fish gets bigger, it gets a little braver, and he can venture away from the reef a little bit.
Yeah, I always say higher up and farther out, they're bigger fish.
They tend to hold higher up a little bit away from the reef. So what the knocker rig is essentially just I've used as small as a quarter ounce egg weight, maybe a half, depending on current and your target depth of your highest marks that you're hitting.
Right.
So, and you can typically cast it up current and let it drift down. And what it does, it makes a very natural presentation. These fish, after they've seen enough 6 and 8 ounce egg weights, they can get a little finicky. And, you know, you think of snapper as being generally fairly easy to catch and get a bite, but they do get pressured and they do get a little tight.
Right.
And so, I mean, we're talking even using, you know, going to, instead of the days of 80-pound monofilament, we're going 40 and 50-pound fluorocarbon or even lighter.
So at knocker rig, we're going to go smaller in weight.
Mm-hmm.
So weight on our main line. Then are we going to a swivel at that point? Or what are you doing?
We're going to let it slide down and hit right on the hook.
So that's the knocker.
Called the knocker.
So instead of doing the old main line to swivel, or mainline with weight to swivel, and then swivel to leader to hook, you're taking that swivel out of the mix.
Right, and it's really simplifying the whole rig. And so, you know, you eliminate a swivel, which the swivel in that case is usually just for a line-to-line connection.
That's
you don't need
right.
a lot of swiveling going on, not like when you're trolling. But what it does, it allows a nice natural presentation. You can take a whole cigar minnow or a butterfly Boston mackerel and pitch it out up current, let it swing back, and just hold on, let it get tight. You know, we're not setting the hooks here. We got circle hooks, so you just get tight and hang on.
Okay, you know, and doing that, so when you're going to rig that, and I'm going to go main line to leader, am I go ahead and serve those two pieces of line together with a bunch of different knots?
Right, if I'm going to use a fluorocarbon,
right,
I'm typically going to do a union-to-union knot further up the line, because it's a nice sleek knot, and,
right.
it goes through the guides well. There's some other ways around it. I also, when I fish, I tend to use braid on my main line mm-hmm. with a long fluorocarbon leader. And I'll use FG knot, which is, I call a rigging bench knot. It's not necessarily one you're going to do on the boat.
Okay.
It's very complicated, but it's very, very sleek and very strong. But there's other, an Albright knot will work just mm-hmm. fine. And so that allows you a nice sleek connection, but then you can have a long leader that you can keep cutting back, because you're going to keep cutting back.
That's what I was about to say. This is, you're listening to two guys that do a lot of this, because people show up on my boat with they've tied a very complicated knot and they have 2 feet of leader. I said, you obviously are very confident in the fact that you're not going to get any abrasion.
I mean, you need to check after every fish for any kind of.
So tie
nip.
On way more leader. Figure out what you think you need and then double that in leader.
I'll go 12, 13 feet sometimes.
And then you can just work through it. Then if you got to cut some off, it's fine.
And you may notice your bites get less and less as you get closer.
Yes.
But, you know, so just – and same thing goes – I mean, that's all fishing. I mean, even like trout fishing, mm-hmm. I do a similar setup.
So the report's good on weekend one. I can't wait for this weekend with the better conditions offshore. I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about next weekend.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what Dr. Bill's weekend weather forecast is going to be.
I don't want to jinx anything. I'll knock on this board here, but it looked pretty good on the marine side.
Yeah, it was looking good when I looked at it. So now to you want to go into what our plan is for this Memorial Day tournament.
Right, so the Memorial Day tournament, which is a kickoff of your Mobile Big Game Fishing Club season, happened to have an entrant into the tournament that shut it down. That entrant was called Alberto, Subtropical right. Storm. And you thought for a while we talked to you, there'd be no makeup, but it sounds like...
Yeah, we try to do what we can because obviously we have sponsors who need they've got to get their exposure. We have and we've got some great sponsors this year, thankfully, and we need to give them the opportunity to put them in front of the anglers, and we want to give our anglers a chance to compete.
People want to fish.
People want to fish and compete. And so what we've done is the Pensacola Big Game Fishing Club, which is obviously over in Pensacola, they do the Pensacola International, which is held on the last weekend of June every year, typically. So that's the weekend before the 4th.
Right.
So what we're going to do, their normal entry fee, after they have an early cutoff, but then from here on out, it's $1,400, and that covers the boat and four anglers, $325 for an additional angler, which some of these boats, they'll list their mates as anglers, too, just right. in case no one else is up and they've got a fish yes. on. Right. And so you can register with Pensacola Big Game Fish Club or Mobile Big Game Fish Club at either location right before the tournament. You can contact them early and go ahead and get registered. You can weigh your fish at either location,
okay.
but you only have to weigh them once. So we'll have representatives at each location. So if you're an Orange Beach boat, you can stay in your slip. You can leave from Orange Beach. You can return to Orange Beach, but you're still fishing that tournament.
Nice.
And so it's essentially there going to follow the format of the Pensacola International, but we're bringing in our boats, and really it's a win-win all the way around.
Sure.
And what this does is it gives us a framework going forward for if they get in the same situation,
you'll do the
we
same
can
for
bring
them
to Labor Day.
That's
or,
good. That's
or something
a good
like
way
that.
To work with the
so
other.
So a good little cross-border working together there. So again, the boats can, from our rules, you can depart out of Mobile Bay or Perdido Pass, and then they allow out of Pensacola Pass, so you have all those options there. And then what we're going to do is anyone who's already registered for the Mobile tournament, we can refund that, and then they can re-enter in, or
okay.
they can roll it over to, if they choose, they can roll it over to one of our other tournaments.
Okay.
But we also have the Club Cup, which is the inter-club tournament that we have. So you have to fish the Memorial Day tournament and Memorial Day or Labor Day tournament and the Pensacola International. So what we're doing is on this tournament, Club Cup points are doubled. So just by fishing this one tournament with, so you're spending one trip worth of expenses, you're getting double points. You're automatically qualified in the Club Cup. But if you really want a shot at it, you need to fish the Labor Day, too, to get points. That's how Born to Run did it last year. They fished all three and came out on top in the points. And so we're looking forward to it. And we'd like to thank Pensacola Big Game
sure.
Club for their efforts and to make this a possibility.
And, good thing, Pete Cola. Way mm-hmm. to go. And talk to folks who have not gotten signed up, not checked out more about the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club, how they can do that.
They can go to our website, Sean. It's mbgfc.org. We can go on Facebook at facebook.com/thembgfc. And anyone, if you have questions concerning the term, anything in particular, shoot me an email, blake@mbgfc.org.
All right. Any chance I'm going to find some of those chicken dolphin out there when I go snapper fishing this weekend?
I would hope so. I believe so.
Good deal. It's always fun to talk with you, man. I can't wait till next week. It's the Blue Water and Offshore Fishing Report on FM Talk 106.5, brought to you by HMS Marine Electronics, home of Garmin, featuring the Garmin 8600, one-touch setting up to 24 inches, which helps with my old eyes, and the Garmin 7600 dual chirp sonar with clear view and side view scanning. Visit HMSMarineElectronics.com or on Facebook, HMS Marine Electronics, your local online retailer with all the price savings and perks of the big box stores and more. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. So we're talking so much fishing right now, red snapper season in, and we'll get to more of that discussion coming up in just a little bit. Also, it is that time of year, time to get ready for the, gotta be kidding me, 16th Annual Mystic Stripers Society Fish and Rodeo. Mystic Charles joining us in studio to talk more about that. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having us. We really appreciate it. 106.5 has always been a great supporter of the Mystic Stripers Society. And believe it or not, yeah, it's 16 years down at the Dauphin Island.
Yeah, we didn't give y'all more than 3 years.
I was going to say, it's easy to be pessimistic and so on and so forth.
I just think because y'all have such a good time. I said, but y'all actually put on a fantastic fishing tournament and y'all are real good at the party.
Well, here's what happens, and I know a lot of men out there, you're not going to really like this. It's going to sting a little bit, but this last year, women actually won more prizes. Mm-hmm. That's right. They won more prizes at our rodeo than men did, and the kids always have a great time. Remember that we're at Dauphin Island. The stats, specs, blah, 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 that kind of stuff are going to seem like a whirlwind, but it's like 15 different categories. Every kid that weighs a fish, he gets a medallion. We have special medallions made for him. So cool. Those are keepsakes.
It doesn't have to be that they have a winning fish. They have a fish, they walk up there, they get to weigh it in.
They weigh it, they weigh their fish, that kind of thing. Tickets are $25. Kids that are 12 and under, $10. Okay. And to be honest with you, I know it sounds like 1950s cheap, but where do you get into a fishing rodeo where it's $25?
So that is correct.
It's great. So what happens is the prizes for the kids are for croaker, hardhead catfish, and white trout. And our whole kids division is sponsored this year by Bass Pro Shops.
Oh, very cool.
They do a great job. They've been with us pretty much since we started. There are cash jackpots for king mackerel, speckled trout. And then, of course, we're the only one that has the red snapper.
Yeah.
And during this time, it just happens to be, thank the guy upstairs, he allowed us to have the red snapper into our fishing tournament, being that we're the one.
When you say the guy upstairs for it, you mean Bradley Byrne or you mean God?
I was talking about JC and his quartet up there, but our trio, should I say. But, but there's also – thank you, Bradley Byrne. I appreciate that as well. We keep you in our prayers.
Or maybe Richard Shelby or something. Yes.
Richard Shelby. Yeah. It's very important. Shout out to Mike Dowell and his Coastal 150. He's got a group of people that are really looking out for the Gulf Coast, and they support the Mystic Stripers Society, Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, and everything else, as well as Bass Pro Shops, as well as – we have a ton of sponsors that are there – Pitts and Sons Towing, L&M Tires, Smith Electric, Little Brian's Produce, Dennis Lang and Construction, Don's Heating and Cooling, Buck's Pizza, Butch Cassidy's, Gulf Coast Beads, Judy's Place, Gillis Construction, and many more. Without having to give you a laundry list,
you got quite a lineup of folks.
Yeah, we got a lineup, and the interesting thing is, every year we have a book that is, I think it's finer than any Life magazine, Rolling Stones, but you get to see our book because obviously you're in it as a major contributor to the rodeo, and it is just a glossy book of who cares about what happens. Remember, St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
Yeah, let's
benefits.
Talk about that. So it's not. Y'all are real good at the party part of it, but before that comes the charity part.
It's the matching dollars part of it that make us so proud that we can continue making this happen again. It's the 16th year of the Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Come down, and ironically enough, when you buy a ticket, you can go online, Mystic Striper Society, Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. You can look in Facebook. We have a couple of pages there. But we also have you tickets to give away to people who are ready to come out there and hook the big ones. But what happens is there's so much of a give back. I know you guys don't get to see it, but look on our Facebook page because we splash up pictures of people that have benefited in the St. Jude's Children's Hospital over the years.
Yeah, what a great charity.
It is. And you know something? They have a lot of fun. And the irony is that a lot of people that when you buy your tickets, obviously you can buy them online. You can go to several of our benefactors that sell them hard copy tickets, as they call it. What is that, snail mail, where you actually get a mail at a mailbox. But we have several places like that. But what happens is so many of these people who don't really realize, hey, you know what, I bought a $25 ticket, you're winning a $50, $65 prize because we have over 60 prizes that go out, including cash and, you know, in gifts. Yeti ice chests. I mean, we have all kinds of things that we give away, so it's kind of cool.
This is a lot of fun, too. So once again, you said Dolphin Island. Y'all are at the marina, right?
Yes.
At Dolphin Island Marina.
Yes, sir.
And that is where the weigh-in and, y'all, the party takes place for the Mystic Stripers Society Fish and Rodeo. Mystic Charles in studio with us talking about this. All right, so you ran through a couple of categories. You're talking about the kids category and or talking about hardheads and white trout and croakers. In the adults, you mentioned king and snapper for offshore, and you talked about trout as well, speckled trout?
Yes, sir. We've got a new speckled trout jackpot.
Okay, give me some education. How's that work?
So what happens is, what they do is this. Each boat can pool their three largest speckled trout to form the largest three-fish creel.
Okay.
Plus,
okay, so we can work as a team versus individual. So we could all have we'll have our individual tickets, me fishing, whatever. But if three of us, we're fishing as a team for the Mystic Stripers Rodeo, and you catch a big trout, and I catch a big trout, somebody else, okay.
So it doesn't have to be, I'm going to catch a bigger one with my daddy, right?
Right.
I'm going to give it to
you. You work together as a team
as opposed to having to compete. And that three-fish creel, I mean, it brings people money. Now, this is cash. Now, here's what else we have. We have thousands of dollars in door prizes. I mean, from Yeti to Pelican coolers, we've got a Mystic Angler cash drawings. We've got $100, $200, and $250. And that's just if you buy a ticket. That doesn't even matter if you fish or not. You come down there, eat a burger or something like that, you can win $250, just bam.
Cool.
Right off the bat.
I'll fish too. But yes, and the nice thing is too, this is set, by the way, we hadn't even said that, it's coming up on the 16th, Saturday the 16th, which happens to be the day before the Father's Day weekend, right?
Father's Day weekend.
Yeah. So
right.
I'm just saying, y'all, that if you're looking for a way to explain to the boss there that you need this fishing weekend or take the kids with you, it's your Father's Day hour.
And ladies, you know, it's hard to hear you guys complain when you won the most prizes last year.
Yeah, that's right.
And
actually.
And so we have a lot of our a lot of people out of Bel Air Mall that are perfume distributors and things like that. They're giving away prizes and things like that. That all you got to do is come buy a ticket.
So the missus is going to have some stuff to check out as well.
Absolutely, as well as fishing. Like I said, when they win, they didn't just win more prizes.
No,
last
all they do
year
is win. Keep reminding us,
right?
Yes.
As far as I can see, they're not just winning by buying the tickets. They're bringing in the fish and. That's a winner chicken dinner.
Absolutely. Once again, 16th annual Mystic Striper Society Fish and Rodeo happening Saturday, June 16th at Dolphin Island Marina. Okay, you mentioned the Facebook page. Once again, best place if somebody's trying to get more information, go to the Facebook page?
Absolutely. Go to our Facebook page.
Just look for Mystic Stripers.
Mystic Striper Society on Facebook. And there's probably about three or four different offshoots that people have. We have a couple of co-sponsors that are trying to get down there with us, Insane Crazy Fishing and a couple of the other fishing mafia people and stuff like that. But they're also participating. What a lot of people don't realize is we call it the Family Fishing Rodeo because it's about the family. It's about your kids because they have their own tournament. And here's what else they can do. If they're under 12 and they want to fish in the kids' tournament, they could do that. But if they're also wanting to fish with their parents as well, they are also qualified for the creel and every other category as well. So they could actually win. They can double dip, so to speak.
I like it.
I know it's not looked at very fondly when the Clintons double dip, but it's looked at very fondly when you double dip with the Mystic Stripers Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo because you can come down there, especially if you're a kid. It's a good time to be a kid. And as Einstein said, youth is wasted on the young. So come down there, fish, have fun, have your mom fish with your mom and your dad. And it's a great Father's Day gift. I mean, I can't think of a better thing that your dad would like
perfect.
To do, especially if he likes to, you know, even if he just likes to eat fish. That's come down there because a lot of people who are, you know, they're cutting their fish and they're winning the tournaments and this and that and the other. A lot of them don't bring big enough ice chests to take their stuff home, so they'll give it to you.
To get groceries at the same time. Mystic Charles, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having us, and we look forward to seeing you guys at the Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. That's Saturday, June the 16th, Dolphin Island Marina.
All right, great stuff. Coming right back, more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. There you go. Coming up in a week's time here, 16th Annual Mystic Striper Society Fish and Rodeo. And more details online and on their Facebook page. And it's good to have Captain Mike back in studio.
Glad to be back.
And ready for some snapper fishing this afternoon, tomorrow, and going forward. Of course, 47 days total is the plan for this season. And, this is a weekend to get out and get it done, marine forecast.
Boy, it's going to be beautiful this
really
weekend.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a wonderful time to be able to get out in the Gulf, especially, like yourself and me. Smaller boats where you're able to get out and enjoy it, where it's not 3-foot, 4-foot seas and you're trying to get out there in a small boat.
Also, speaking of getting out and fishing, the trout fishing has been really good at the island lately.
Yeah.
It's been good all season, but we had good leading into the full moon. Then we had that kind of doldrums period. The full moon was about this time last week. Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was Wednesday of last week. And so we've now gone through the doldrums and picked back up. And you're in good – and it's something that, like, Captain Bobby will say or Captain Charlie Gray will say. And you're like, yeah, when they say the fishing's good all over. But it really has been. There's people that are on the gas rigs, fishing, slip corking, fishing deeper water structure,
yep,
catching fish. There are people that are in that 6 feet of water range catching fish, and there are people wade fishing, catching
top
fish.
Water.
So, they really are. They're deep, medium, and shallow.
They're everywhere right now. So, and they're on the bay side of the island. They're on the Gulf side island right now. So it's they're doing good right now.
And the nice thing is, when they're on both sides like that, for wade fishing, you can kind of judge by what the wind's doing that day or what the rollers are doing.
Right.
I like to fish the south side of the island. I don't like to do it. Even if there's 1 foot seas, sometimes there's rollers right at the beach. If that's where, and then you go to the north side.
Yeah.
You just keep it mixed up. Also, this last week, they opened up gator season registration. So it is open now through, I think they draw, it's July 11th off the top of my head.
Me and you did that for years,
yep,
and I just have not fooled with it anymore. I just quit putting my name in there.
Not done it in 4 years or so.
It's been 3 or 4 years.
I did this year again.
Did you?
I got back in. And let me tell you, it's different, at least the way when I went through. So I went through OutdoorAlabama.com. And if you go and just look for Gator Hunt, it gives you the links there. And you plug your information in. Unless I missed something, and maybe you can do what I did multiple times. But, it used to be how many times you wanted to enter. And it was like at $5.
Right.
It charged me, I think it was $22 one time. So I think it's maybe different now how they do the lottery. It used to be how many times you wanted to buy an entry.
You got more chances.
And maybe somehow it's that way. But the way I did, you hit the registration bar. You go through. It says only persons eligible to hunt as residents of the state of Alabama who are 16 years of age or older. Current holders Alabama lifetime hunting license may apply, blah, 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 blah. And then you go through and it gives you your choice. You choose the zone, southwest or the delta, the west, central, or the southeast. You follow zone. You go through, you plug your information in, and you put your registration location, and you go through it, and it says, okay. And you plug your credit card in, and it says, you're registered.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it seemed like one time. I'll tell you what, we'll get Keith Golden on by the time we get done with this month and make sure I'm doing it the right way. But I got the receipt. It was, I think, $22 and I'm in. So it's been a long time since I got in, but I'm back in.
But I think they put you in where if you don't get drawn this year, that gives you extra points for next year something.
Maybe that's what they're doing. That's right. They talked to us about this, like a Western hunt.
Right.
By the way, this means nothing to anybody else except for me, but let me brag a little bit. This last week, I got an email from the state of Colorado. I'm going mule deer hunting.
How about that?
Got drawn for our first choice, what they call third season out there. So it's early November. The closest thing you can get to the rut with a gun out there, because their mule deer rut comes in about mid-November is when it goes. So we're November 3rd through 11th. So by the way, I won't be doing the show that Thursday. so we got drawn. Very excited. Got drawn as a group out there hunting, public land.
Yeah.
I went through the process. I talked about that this year, studying, all the studying and looking at different things. And so went through the process. And sure enough, it was, I tell you what, it was Election Day Tuesday. I got an email from the state of Colorado, and I said, I'm looking at all these election results, but hold on. Let me go look at this. And, yeah, we got drawn, so I was pretty excited.
Well, I'm going to let you figure out all this stuff, and then next year when you get lined up, I'm going with you.
Okay. Well, you got to get – and really, y'all, it's nothing impossible. It seemed that way because there's so many, it's so different than here.
Yeah.
It's so different than just – although I will say Colorado has over-the-counter elk tags and, you know, I think some areas maybe over-the-counter deer tags, but the majority of it's draw.
Yeah.
And you start looking at a state that's not your home state, place you don't go, and it's cut up into all these different zones, and there's all these different – it's archery, it's muzzleloader, it's rifle one, rifle two, rifle three, late rifle. And, I mean, to a Southern boy,
it's confusing to somebody like us. That's
but
right.
I used a website. We talked to Trail Kreitzer from that Go Hunt. There are others that do that same thing. And there are people that do tag services, like where you pay for them to – go find your tag. But honest goodness, if you just slow down and study and get a service like Go Hunt that helps you break down these units by percentage of draw for out-of-state people, percentage of harvest in the previous year, these things, you just keep a notepad and try to make it say, okay, I'm going to pick my top five choices off this. And maybe there's reasons those choices are different. Like I looked at, are there good camping areas nearby? Are there places I can stay? What about access? Is it all hike in or can I get in with an ATV? Or can you know, you put all that and kind of say, all right, that's probably our number one choice, number two choice, number three, number four. And then you go to their website when it's time because you have to file for this stuff, y'all. I think it was April 1st, everything had to be in for Colorado. And
then you
wait till June and you find out. And so we got lucky. We got our first choice. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. So. Now, you was talking about where to camp and everything. Mm-hmm. Is it close to motel rooms?
Well, for a lot of people, that's right. And it is in this area.
Now, I'm not going to go camping with you. Now, I'm going to stay in a motel somewhere.
And that's the thing. What's great about it is what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Because there are different areas. If you want to stay in a motel room every night, that would exclude some of the areas. You just study maps and look at this. If you're saying, okay, I'm good with staying in a wall tent with a heater or something like that, there's other areas. And if you're super gung-ho and you say, I'm going to put my stuff on my back and hike in, you're really gung-ho. But there are areas for you as well. I mean, we're right on the margin where we're going to not being close to a bunch of motels, more camping, and we can hike into some of those hike-in areas each day.
Yeah.
We just realize, you know, just carrying stuff in is one thing, but if anybody in the group gets lucky and kills a deer, kills an elk, you got to bring all that stuff back out on your back as well. So we're not doing it. We're doing as close as we can get with vehicles.
Yeah.
And then from there each day, lacing on the boots and going.
Sounds like that's going to be
awesome. It's going to be a good time.
Yep.
All right. Y'all get out and catch some fish. We'll talk about that a whole bunch more next week. Remember, check us out online, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Prep Sports Report on the way next. And I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad I'm back.